The scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to John. We look at chapter 12. And we read this morning the verses 20 through 33. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified and will glorify again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The text for the sermon this morning is verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Beloved congregation, throughout his ministry on earth, the Lord Jesus knew that he would be crucified. The shadow of the cross was cast over the totality of his life here on earth. It was for this reason that he would come into this world. He was to shed his blood as the Lamb of God. He was going to pay the penalty of the sins of his people. And the Lord Jesus had spoken about this. In our text this morning we see the same matter. The Lord Jesus is referring to his crucifixion, to his death. Because the Lord Jesus said, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And the Lord Jesus is referring to his death, because the Holy Spirit informs us in verse 33 that the Lord Jesus said this, signifying what death he should die. He was going to be lifted up upon the cross. And the Lord Jesus knew that this was going to happen. And yet he was forthright, willing to go this way. You remember that when the disciples and the Lord Jesus went back to Jerusalem, approaching his crucifixion, the disciples did not realize that. But the Lord Jesus did. And he went ahead of them. His eyes were set, his face was fixed towards his suffering, most willing. And the Lord Jesus had spoken about this already at the beginning of his ministry. In John chapter 3 already, there the Lord Jesus referred to as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And the purpose of this uplifting that the Lord Jesus spoke about in John 3 is that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Because the Lord Jesus was going to be lifted up and he would die. But the Lord Jesus lifted up on the cross, it would be a magnet drawing all kinds of people unto him, that people would learn to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, just like in Numbers 21, that Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld, he looked up to see the serpent of brass, he would not die, but he would live. And some would be very close to that brazen serpent lifted up. Others would be far in the distance, but they could still see the contours of that brazen serpent. But whoever looked, they all lived. And children in church understand what this means. It means to look to the Lord Jesus. For he was prefigured in that brazen serpent. And the Lord Jesus spoke about it, about his being lifted up. It was throughout his ministry, he knew that this was going to happen. That lifted up, it will be a violent death, it will be a painful death, but it would be a sin-atoning death. It would be suffering in which God would forsake him. It will be suffering in which he took the curse of his people. It was going to be a public death, not somewhere in private, that the disciples then had to tell people what happened. No, it was in public. Many saw him. There was a cross outside of Jerusalem, and many were there, and they saw the signs that would accompany his crucifixion, the 3 hours of darkness, and the rocks tearing apart, and graves opened up. And the people saw all these signs, and they went home, smiting their breasts, a sign of horror, of grief, of trepidation. It took place in public. He will be lifted up between heaven and earth. As it were prefigured, he would be the mediator standing in the middle between heaven and earth. It had to be this way. This had been determined by God. The crucifixion was agreed upon by the Lord Jesus himself. This death was predicted in the scriptures. This death of the Son of God was portrayed and signified by types and ceremonies of the Old Testament. This death was foretold by the Lord Jesus himself. And why did the Lord Jesus do this? Because to save his people. To save those who long for him, who look for him, to save those who have been afflicted in this past week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, who maybe had a rough night, who maybe had assaults on every side, and all kinds of thoughts going through their mind which upset them in this past week. Yes, it's not a coincidence, because the evil one knows about the celebration of the supper. He wants to keep people away from this ordinance. He does not want them to have comfort. But you afflicted one, you are cast down. You have no righteousness of yourself. You who look up to Him, but you're at a distance and you can hardly see Him. He's calling you. Yes, you. You suffering one. You afflicted one. Cast to and fro by tempests and storms. He's calling you. Because He gave His blood to save you. You thirst for Him. You can't find Him. But He's calling you to come and to look at those signs lifted up. He's calling you. Because He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto Me. If I be lifted up. That if is, of course, not to take an if it may happen. No, it means not maybe or perhaps, but it's going to happen. It's when I am lifted up, then I will draw. Then sinners will be converted. They will look up and they will see the King in His beauty. Yes, beauty upon the cross. The beauty of love. The beauty of self-effacing mercy. He is altogether lovely. Such love. He glorified His Father. Such glory. Not outward, but inward. And it reflects His sinner's love. And that draws people. It's said of missionaries who labored in faraway countries, I believe even an example was in Greenland, that Moravian missionaries labored there, and apparently, if I have all the facts correct, they labored for 5 years and there was no conversions among the Inuit people. And they spoke about what was all needed for salvation. They spoke about creation and about their sins and their miseries and about eternal life and eternal damnation. But apparently it made no impression. Until they spoke about the uplifted one on the cross, when they preached the suffering Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, that caused these people to be undone. And then they wept, having looked upon a dying Savior in order to save them. That moved their hearts. Yes, when the Lord Jesus is lifted up, He will draw all men unto Him. Sinners will be converted. And that happened primarily after the death of Christ. While the Lord Jesus lived, we read of thousands who were miraculously fed with bread during a sermon. But after His death, we read of thousands who were miraculously converted during the sermon of Peter. It was after His death that His people multiplied like Joseph in Egypt. After he died, then the people multiplied. Not that there was a connection between the death of Joseph and that the people multiplied. But there is this comparison that when the Lord Jesus had died, then His people multiplied. That's how it went. We can also draw the illustration of a fish net. Fishermen, they draw fish into their nets. And likewise, the Lord Jesus lifted up. Was like a net in which sinners will be drawn. And sinners will be made very willing in the day of His power. Psalm 110. And how does the drawing of sinners take place? Well, by means of the preaching of God's word. That's what the Apostle Paul describes in Galatians 3 verse 1. You Galatians, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So Jesus set forth, crucified among you. Well, the Lord Jesus was crucified before that outside of Jerusalem. But in the preaching of his word, there the Lord Jesus is, as it were, crucified in their midst. That's preaching, portraying Jesus Christ as the crucified one. I will draw all men unto me. That happens in two ways. Sinners are drawn. Sinners who are busy wasting their life, who are busy increasing their guilt, who are on their way to everlasting darkness. And they see Christ dying on the cross. And then sinners are drawn by faith and repentance. They see their sins. They believe the gospel. They realize we need the Lord Jesus Christ. So he draws lost sinners to himself. They see his sinners' love. But there's also the drawing of believers to himself. And that means those in whose hearts the Lord has wrought salvation. The Holy Spirit has worked faith in their lives and hearts. But they are continually drawn to Christ anew. Again and again and again. And through the drawing work of the Holy Spirit, they experience communion with Christ. They know the Lord Jesus is theirs, and they are his. Their life belongs to Christ. And that is so sweet and so blessed. That gives true comfort. And the Lord Jesus, lifted up on the cross, draws his people to himself. And we see that at the Lord's Supper. For the Lord Jesus Christ is in a special manner revealed and lifted up in the Lord's Supper. And the bread is lifted up and the wine is lifted up, that you can see the signs. That's the significance why the minister lifts up the cup and pours the wine in, that you can see it. You have to see these signs. And in those signs you see Christ lifted up. And so the apostle testifies of the Lord Jesus, he loved me and gave himself for me. And that's the testimony of a child of God at the supper, drawn to Christ. He washed me, he purged me, he saved me. And now I need to learn so many things, because I'm such a poor saint. Yes, a saint, sanctified to the Lord Jesus, but it's all grace. Nothing of me. I'm wavering every moment, inclined to fall to the right or to the left. I need him to hold both my hands to lead me further. I can do nothing without him. And then to look at the signs of his faithfulness. That's comforting. That's encouraging. And at the supper, we see signs of bread and wine. But it's more than signs. Because we confess the Holy Spirit uses those signs to draw a child of God to Christ. And that there will be communion with the risen Christ at the supper. A real communion with the body and blood of Christ at the supper through the Holy Spirit. And there you may whisper to this blessed Savior, Thou hast given Thyself for me. And therefore, Lord, everything of me belongs to Thee. Scripture says elsewhere, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced and they shall mourn. And that's also at the Lord's Supper. A grief, because I caused thee all these sufferings. But that grief is mingled with joy and with adoration that thou hast done that for me. Thou hast made sin for us. While thou knewest no sin, that we would be made righteousness of God in him. He made a curse because of me. He bore my sins on the cross. He, the just, died for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so the Lord Jesus was lifted up to make peace with God through his blood. Because God was reconciling the world unto himself. And there God is confirming his love to all his people. The text continues. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. But actually, it says in Greek, in the original, something else. And you can see that in your translation. In Greek, it says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. It doesn't say all men, but all. Now, the Lord Jesus indeed has come to save sinners. Men and women, sinners of the fallen human race. So obviously the Lord was drawing men and women, people unto himself. The prophet Haggai had spoken about that Christ was going to be the desire of all nations. And Jacob said that to him must the gathering of the people be. This drawing unto him, it was this that was the fear and the dread of his enemies. They said, all what you do amounts to nothing. The whole world is following him. They're all following him. So what we must do is crucify him. And they did that. But then exactly the very thing happened that they dreaded. That by his crucifixion, indeed, everyone would follow him. He will draw all. When Christ is lifted up, then precisely the thing happened that his enemies feared. He will draw all men unto himself. Loathsome sinners, they will come. People who are meek. He will draw them, distrustful people. The Lord will make them faithful, shy people. The Lord will bring them close to him. People see his love. And they are drawn up into his arms, into his loving, tender arms. The Lord would draw men's hearts to him. that with a heart they would love Him and at the same time desire to love Him more and more. That everything that is in them would glorify Him. Sinners will be drawn. And that presupposes their own lack of power, their lack of ability. It doesn't say, if I be lifted up, people will come to me. No, nobody will come. They are drawn. Isn't that the secret of your life? You who desire to be at the Lord's Supper, that He drew you. He became too strong for you. You did not have the ability or the willingness to come. No, God the Father draws such, and the Lord Jesus draws them, and the Holy Spirit draws them by shedding light upon Christ. None of His people would ever have come on their own volition. It's all grace. Free grace. It's all the work of Christ, because He is the beginning and the end of salvation. He started it, He continues with it, and He finishes it. It's all sovereign, free grace. And here at the supper you are called to lift up your hearts unto Him, and to look to your salvation. Amen.